Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer. That's my name. Don't wear it out. Have you heard of any good jokes lately? I know you are, but what am I? That was my favorite one. Paul Rubens, better known as Pee Wee Herman, and anyone who grew up in the 80s and you were going to school knew what you had to watch, you had to see before you went to school, and if you're lucky, you caught some reruns when you got home. That's right, Pee Wee's Playhouse. A great, iconic comedian who brought smiles and laughter to the young generation, and really all of his artistic content was really created for the kids. It's the truth. And then, of course, like great legends out there, and there's many, many of them, he faced trials and tribulations and controversy. Things had happened. His reputation was at stake. But he prevailed, and he did small roles throughout the remainder after what was brought out in the public and private things are going on in his own life. And we had forgotten that this bigger-than-life character was really art. He was an actor. He portrayed this bigger-than-life role on Pee-wee's Playhouse. And who could not forget the talking chair? And if you're young enough, you believed that there was chairs in your house. Then maybe when your parents went to sleep, they actually talked to you. I know. And sunflowers that actually smiled and they sang and they listened to Pee-wee's jokes, and sometimes they had jokes of their own. Who could forget Pee-wee's Playhouse? That was honestly Pee-wee Herman and Pee-wee's Playhouse was a big part of, I can remember, of childhood memories and watching shows before you went to school, you know, from 85, you know, 84, 85, all the way up to when he was actually creating movies and Pee-wee's Big Top and movies off of, just a great show for kids. We forget that there's actually behind this creator is a person, a real person, like anyone, like you and I. For 6 years, he battled a very private battle with cancer. And he did so out of the decision for himself is to remain private. And even some of his closest friends are saying he had no idea that he was struggling and he was battling secretly behind closed doors cancer. No one's quite sure what kind of cancer that Paul Rubens had, because we have to remember, this is Paul Rubens. He is a person. He's an individual just like you and I. At the end of the day, yes, he was Pee Wee Herman. He was a bigger-than-life character, but he's a person. He's a human being, you know, and he has real struggles just like anyone else in the world. Not many people know truly what type of cancer, because it kept things so under lock and key and secretive. And it's interesting because 6 years ago, researching some of this today and hearing this, I'm like, oh my gosh, another legend, you know, another legend passes away, you know, part of your childhood, which you remember, you know. And anyone who grew up in the 80s, you know what I'm saying, it was a big part of going to school, coming home, and things that made you smile and the simple things, you know. He had brain cancer diagnosed 6 years ago. And it stated to the public and friends that it was a successful surgery. Whether or not it was connected to where the cancer came back, or there was subsites to the cancer that maybe it had spread over time, but he had battled secretly for 6 years. I'm going to say this as an oncology patient. Any oncology patient can respect what I'm saying, is when you don't realize and you find yourself out of remission, or maybe some patients and myself, you never got that cure, you know, you're given a gold standard timeline when things get really you start feeling the true effects of the cancer and the tumor and secondary complications, and most importantly the pain. A general golden rule is the 5-year prognosis, and that's pretty much general for any type of cancer, from what I've been told by oncology group initially treated me and my oncology team now, is a 5-year prognosis, 5-year golden rule. Once you get past that and you're able to defy the odds, it gets tougher, and it really does. Truly, end of the day, and in my strong opinion, what I'm going through is really the success and being able to continue living your best life lies in the hands of your palliative care team, your hospice team, These are people that work with you for, you know, cancer, and there's other chronic illnesses as well, but I'm more zoning in on cancer is when there's no cure, things become terminal. Terminal meaning there's no further surgical options, there's no other options for you, there's no cure. Then you fall under either palliative care or hospice care. When I was researching some of this, he was under pain management care, so that is a good thing, but it just seemed like the end result was, you know, it's unfortunate, but it happens to all patients as a cancer one. When you're trying to defy something that's bigger than you and bigger than life, and you keep fighting and you keep living and you keep thriving, surviving, but really the true essence of being able to live your best life really falls in the hands of palliative and hospice care. That's the truth. And it's when I was researching today and I heard that news, I thought it was good to know that he had that type of specialty care. And he was able to get, I'm sure not all the pain managed, because we never get all of our pain managed, but the best to your ability that you can keep living, you know, and when you get to that part of your journey is doing things, whether it's a bucket list or things that you want to do or what you always wanted to do or leaving notes or videos. A lot of people leave cards for their kids and things like that and finalizing things at that journey. And then while you're doing that, you should just keep trying to live the best life. It's really interesting because you have a lot of celebrities that, and a lot of people in general, and it's really a patient's decision and right, is to go either public with their journey, like the great actress Shannon Daugherty, who is going through advanced cancer, and she shares a lot of her journey and has publicly. And then there's those that, you know, and they have the right to be private about it and do it privately. John Travolta's wife is another great, amazing woman who had struggled with cancer and did things privately. And really, there is no right or wrong, in my opinion. Sharing your journey allows other people to be inspired, to be able to feel connected, to be able to say, okay, I'm not alone because this person's going through things. I know I'm not alone. Doing it privately allows you to have that space and time to yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. I truly believe when you get towards the latter part with cancer and oncology journey is you stop sharing so much of yourself when it involves the journey. I think truly the reason is because, especially in your position and you've shared your journey, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a blog, whether it's a Caring Bridge page, whether you chronicle, you know, or you talk, or you're part of a, you know, support group, or you travel, and you get to that point, and you've made it past that golden standard 5 years, and you start realizing that, you know, as time goes on through the journey, things change in your life. The tumor evolves and it changes, and depending what kind of cancer, there's a lot of cancers with men and with women, and like myself or what I have with ovarian is it affects chemicals and hormones, and things constantly change. You get to that point of acceptance, I think, and making peace with what is and what you can't control and what will be. And you take more time to realize and how I've used therapy now is calm and doing things and finishing things you want to finish and slowing down in life, I'd say. But you're not as, and I think this is with every patient. There may be a rule, exception to the rule, not a high percentage, but there is a low percentage, maybe 5-10%, maybe, that continue to the end, you know, journaling and sharing public. But if you really look at it, okay, people who've gone through the cancer journey, oncology world, oncology journey, is when you get to the other side, I call it the other side of the mountain, you don't share as much as you used to. And I don't think there's anything wrong. You're allowed to be in that selfish season, like I always say, and conserve and reserve that energy and time for yourself. And I think that's healthy, and I think it's really important, you know. You look at life differently. I don't think you ever come out the same. I was probably just as shocked as everybody to learn that he passed away Saturday of cancer, and he did so privately, and nobody knew. Although he had brain cancer 6 years ago, could it be connected? It's a strong possibility. I don't ever believe there's ever a cure. I believe that they call it remission. I call it a deep sleep, the cells. But I believe with time, as well as my oncology groups have, and my oncology team has always said, is the cells come back and they multiply. And the tumor gains strength, you know, and then you have complications and things after oncology treatments that you never experienced before. You walked into the door of an oncology group or oncology team, oncology care, oncology hospital, you know, whichever you choose, if you choose that path. It's an option, you know, because not everybody chooses treatment. But with time, the struggle gets greater. It affects everything. It affects your diet, how you feel. You don't eat as much. You start losing weight. I think acceptance at the point is knowing and understanding that you can't control what you can't control. When you realize what you have in front of you and this plate, and that, you know, it's part of you. It's part of your identity. It'll forever be the part of the rest of your journey of life. When you go through oncology treatments, it should change you. And I've always said this, for the better, for the positive, you should learn a great deal. You should come out on the other side a lot more compassionate for other patients and general people, you know, that are sick and suffer from chronic illness. And it doesn't have to be cancer. And some people, it doesn't change them. I think personally, it's a low percentage, very low. But a general rule of thumb, it changes people, you know. As time goes on, you defy that five-year prognosis. You don't talk about it as much. I find myself not talking about my health struggles as much. And I find myself keeping more things private. I think I chalk that up, and I think anyone who is a patient chalks that up as just conserving and being selfish with your time and your energy, period. Yes, you want to share your journey because you want to inspire people to keep living and thriving and surviving the best life they can. You do so by the help of your team, whether you chose palliative care or hospice care. You know, really, your thriving and your life and your livelihood is really in the hands of these doctors. I can't say it enough. I've tried coming off, you know, palliative care, and it was hell. And I realize how much worse things got, and I'm not joking, you know? You sit down with the patient and your care team does, and I've been down this road 3 or 4 months ago and looking at how things are progressing and where you're going to be in the future, because you have to talk about the future. It's a hard topic and conversation to talk about. And my oncology team had to sit me down, and we talked about where we're going to be and where we're going. And real possibilities of a real struggle and real pain and having to increase things and not wanting from a person, not wanting to be on a lot and less is more to a person of, listen, I'm not going to be able to live, thrive, survive, or even want to without the help of getting the pain under control, the nausea under control, the nerve pain under control. You have to applaud people like Paul Rubens who fight the great fight. And you have to respect the people like Paul Rubens, known as AKA Pee Wee Herman, of people who fight the great fight, a cancer journey, and they do it publicly. But isn't it a sad, sad shame to know we lost another amazing human being, amazing actor, and part of our childhood, you know, a part of our memories. And Lord, if we all just had chairs in our house that talked to us and smiled and were happy and some flowers that sang songs and told jokes with us and ha 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 ha. Of course, that sounded horrible, didn't it? Ha 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 ha. Have I ever tried to do that? Zing. Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, Pee Wee's Playhouse, Pee Wee Under the Big Top. What's your evening going to be? It should be, if you lived in the 80s and you grew up in the 80s and you appreciated what I'm saying, is going back old school, turning on Pee Wee's Playhouse, streaming some of Pee Wee Herman's greatest adventures, and remembering a great legend and someone dear to our childhood and our hearts that we lost along the way.